So you were sitting next to a man that some would credit with inventing inventing ring psychology. He didn't need to be as big as a Tony Atlas. He didn't need to be as hyperactively insane as an Ultimate Warrior. He didn't need to be as gigantic as an Andre the Giant.
And he didn't scream and shout because, you know what? Everybody else was screaming and shouting. So what did Jake do?
He stared at you.
He just stared at you.
You saw the eyes before you saw anything else.
And he whispered. He whispered. Said, you know what I'm going to do?
You listen here, Sting.
And he paid attention. It's all genius. Jake, welcome back to the studio, man.
Great to have you. Absolutely, man.
You're going to be at the Baltimore Soundstage tonight. Doors are at 7 p.m. And I think a lot of people are going to be there to check you out, obviously because they're a fan, but most recently because of the resurrection of the man that some people 5, 6, 7 years ago thought we wouldn't have a chance to have you sitting here because you might be in the dirt, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was begging for it, man. I was trying to die. You know, I was fed up with life. So disgusted with myself. I hated myself so much for what I'd done to my family, to myself, and to my career.
Was that the biggest thing keeping you down? Was this the cycle of disgust?
Shame.
And shame. And then you had to numb that, and it just was just stayed in that state.
Anybody that's been sexually molested as a kid, man, that scar is so deep.
Yeah.
You know, it has really messed me up with having a relationship with women. I can't totally give it up because I remember what happened when I gave it up when I was young, and being raped and beaten. I can't do it, man. So therefore, I've had 3 successful marriages.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. 8 kids. Oh, yeah.
Jake the Snake. So I just watched the documentary last night.
The Resurrection of Jake the Snake.
Great.
Yeah.
And
did you have a cry party last night?
Yes.
Sobbed like a total 4-year-old. But you guys have, not to spoil anything, but there's a triple lockup at the end with you and everyone else involved, and I just turned into a pile of goop. Well, Josh, your question, please.
What really got me right in the gut was when they were talking to your son, and he said that you told him you want more time with your kids, you want more time with your grandkids. And it's just, there's so many contradictions because a couple contradictions. One is, you know, you're this wrestler, this tough wrestler, and then you're crying and, you know, you don't expect to see that. And then the other thing that really hit me, which I've never thought about before, just in general about somebody who's addicted to alcohol or drugs, is, you know, you might see them at that time, that low time in their life, and say they're weak. They're weak.
They're not a man.
But maybe at that moment they were weak or whatever, maybe not. But to get out of that, you have to be so strong. I don't think I could have done what you've done.
Of course you could. It's in all of us.
I failed lots of times, man. Yeah. I went to several rehabs that were paid for by WWE. Thank you very much. Did not work. Thank you very much again. You know, and I think with everybody, man, finding that key to unlock that demon, it takes a special formula. Right. Everybody's formula is different. The same does not work for the next guy, you know. And I'm so lucky that I had somebody that loved me that twisted me a little bit without getting too close. So I'd punch him because there were some moments.
You know? Just being Diamond Dallas Page.
Yes. DDP Diamond Yoga. Dallas, I'll kill you, son of a... Oh, man, there were some moments, man. And, you know, but we persevered, man. We came on through. And, you know, now I look back and... It is so hard for me to watch that. I look at that and I go, my God, that was me.
I mean, who wants to revisit that pain?
How far removed do you feel from that now, though?
Million miles.
That far away?
Yeah.
Now, how is it, like, I understand the yoga and you're getting back into shape, by the way, 230.
236.
Yeah, come break. On, 230. From 300 down to 230-something.
308 to 236.
Wow, and weighing less than you did back in the 80s, you were saying? That's insane. But, okay, so the physical is one aspect of that. You got DDP pushing you, and you're doing the yoga, you're getting in shape. But you were in that sick mental state, that negative mental state, that vicious cycle for so long that it becomes a habit, it becomes all you know. Mm-hmm. Getting up out of that... How do you do, because that has to constantly just keep coming back and want you dragging down. You have to do a complete mental 180 and stay there.
Yeah.
Do you still dip back? How do you get out? How do you stay there?
I don't dip back, man, because I had somebody that was so far up my rear end, you know, Dallas. And he made me do some stupid stuff, you know, like, all right, every day you're going in front of that mirror and you're going to look in that mirror. You're going to say, that's a good man. I like you.
Right.
I'm like, no, I'm going to punch you in your teeth. Are you serious?
I'm going to shatter this mirror.
And you did it.
But I did it just to shut him up because Dallas is so friggin' annoying. I mean, he loves you so deeply, man, and he was there so much, you know, and he's like, dude. You know?
Just well, let me what they say
is... He made me change my wardrobe.
Right, because what they say is like, okay, you had a drug habit, but then you also had mental habits that you're not even aware of. Yeah, the way talk to yourself, the way you view yourself. Yeah. And you got to change all that. And doing things like that, it worked and it changed you.
You know, it was about 2 years in that one morning, I went downstairs and was getting ready to work out, took a leak, you know, boom, shake, bake, whatever. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, you know what, dude, you are a pretty cool dude. And
wow.
I felt
there you go. You felt it, that change, right?
I just sit down, man. I just could not believe it.
I went to two rehabs for painkillers.
Oh, yeah.
So I met some of the most mentally tough people that I've ever known that were in rehab. And people think that it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
To get over it, you have to be you got to get back to square one. And you look in that mirror sometime, and that mirror doesn't lie, man.
Brother, I beat that mirror up a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, back home, I took all the mirrors down because I got tired of breaking them.
Wow.
Because I just lose it. And I'd in the bathroom, I'd look up and say, you fuck, you know, because you just hate. But, you know, I am so happy that it's done. And now my life is, I mean, from Jake the Snake being that bad dude, that sicko, that maniac that scares you to death in the ring, to comedy. Because that's what I'm doing now is comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, it's not really comedy. It's road story.
Yeah. Well, it's from the heart, man.
Oh, it's road story.
Some of it happens to be funny.
40 years of road stories that are insane.
Hear, hey, what'd you find with the younger generation that never maybe really saw you but are coming out now to get to know you and, like Josh said, may have seen the documentary and they feel they know you now? How cool has that been, the link with kids of people that watched you in the ring?
Well, people that watched me in the ring, man, it's awesome meeting them, of course. But then I'm getting a whole new group. These kids that are watching WWE 24, you know, 24/7.
Yeah, they have the network.
They watch the network.
All the old pay-per-views.
And they're coming to me, hitting me with matches. I'm like, I didn't wrestle that guy. Yeah, he did. June 7th, 1961. You're 61. I was there.
Can I ask you about your father? Because in the documentary I watched, you obviously have a rough history with your dad.
Yeah.
Have you been able to make peace in your mind?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I came to a point of realization that no matter how hard I tried, I was still going to love him. You know, I mean, because it used to be so frustrating. How can you love somebody that molests his children and molests other young girls? How can you still love him? And bottom line is, he is your father. So I had to settle for, I love him, but I do not like him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I was able to separate that. I went and I forgave him. And that, you know, I may have said the words. I don't know how deep that went because the things that happened to me and my sister wound up being murdered because of him. Because, you know, she was looking for daddy, you know, and she married a guy that was 60 years old and she was 18.
Wow.
Wow.
And it was a setup to murder her for life insurance money.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So his ex-wife murdered my sister. She did 10 years because they never found the body. Did 10 years, got out. They disappeared into Mexico with the money. So
here's the other thing. I mean, he tortured you in that moment, and he tortured you as a child. Yeah. And then
he continued doing so.
And, right, and then as a grown-up and as a grown man into your 50s and 60s, he's still torturing you even though he's gone and he's not here anymore and he's not even around you or physically touching you. And it's almost like you need to make the decision to not give him that power anymore.
Oh, you do.
Allow
you do.
Him to torture you.
Definitely, definitely, man. And all I can do is love my children, you know. And I'm ashamed to say this, man, but it's the truth. I never held one of my daughters in my lap, until my fifth child was 18 years old.
Wow.
Because I was afraid I would turn into Your father.
Oh man, from everything that he did
you
to you and your
no
siblings.
You have no idea how fear, how scared you can be, even to hold your own child. You know, I'd hug them, not sitting down. No, because if they sit here,
Or probably hug them for not too long, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, okay, we got proud of you, but...
And then push away.
You're away. Oh, you're afraid of what might awaken in you, being that you're cut from the same cloth as this monster.
Look, because I know that my grandfather
was the same way.
Look, see, now you got me like tearing up because I couldn't imagine.
It's the most important thing in the world, right there, bro.
God, I couldn't imagine not like hugging her.
Jake the Snake again, Baltimore Soundstage tonight. It's 7 p.m. In a weird, macabre way, did you take everything or parts of what happened to you as a child with your own children? And take that into the ring with your persona, with some of your mannerisms, your psychology, your promos, because you were on a different level than other. I'll see you at SummerSlam. I'm going to take the belt. Look how strong I am. You brought a level of sinister and horror that had not been seen prior to you. How much of what you went through was used for your profession?
I'll tell you this. I would not have been as successful in the ring had I not went through all that crap. Because... at a very young age, I learned to lie and lie real good because my life depended on it. You know, I got to convince this woman in some way or another that I'm going to do what she wants, you know, or blah, blah, blah. And some way to set up an escape route. So I was constantly conniving.
Scheming.
Scheming for safety. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just telling stories, isn't it?
That's what you
Isn't that what an interview is? Telling
absolutely.
Stories. And that's what I do tonight, telling stories. From the good old days, from the crazy days. And I'm bringing along Alex, the incredible shrinking man. He is such a great guy, man. I met this guy, and I watched his act, and he came up to me and said, what'd you think? I said, well, it's great, but it's a shame you're going to die.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
What are you talking about?
Baltimore Soundstage tonight. Doors are at 7 p.m. Jake the Snake Roberts joining us in studio. The Resurrection of Jake the Snake on Netflix. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, this is just, I'm just soaking all this in right now. This is incredible, not just to get to sit in front of a WWE Hall of Famer, but a WWE Hall of Famer that, you know, many years ago, not a lot of people would think was long for this world.
I was a dead
boy. Let me ask you about money, because I always go to money, because that's my biggest thing, Jake. I fear, like, when this goes away, that I'm going to be destitute.
And
my daughter, I worry about her and my family, and it's like, and then I remember the one part of the documentary where Steve Yu, is that who filmed it and directed it? He said, I'm with Diamond Dallas Page, and we're driving, and we're pulling up to Jake the Snake's house, and he goes, Jake the Snake is one of the most, famous wrestlers of all time. I was imagining this giant house.
He's expecting something palatial because of the career that preceded.
Right, and then he says he pulls up into the driveway, and then he was dumbfounded by what your house looked like. Yeah. Now, how lucrative was your wrestling career, and did you make a lot of money? And if so, where did it all go? And do you worry about money? Did you care about money? Where does money factor into your life?
I never cared nothing about money. I was the worst businessman ever. I wanted to be better than my father in the ring, and I sacrificed everything to do so. So when it came to time for money, I didn't care what you gave me. Just give me that spot. So desperate. But, you know.
Because he was a wrestler also.
Yeah, so you wanted
to outdo him in his
profession. He was 7 foot tall and 425 pounds, too, so there was a little difference. But, you know, what is success? Mm-hmm. What is success, man? Success to me is having a family because I didn't have that for so long. And I'm doing the right things now, and guess what? All kinds of money coming at me. All kinds of money. I got a book that's going to be out soon, 600 pages of really in-depth stuff. It's awesome. There's some people wanting me to do a movie, wanting me to do this. I got things going on everywhere, having the best time of my life, and it starts with this comedy show, man. Like I was telling you about Alex, man. Alex went from 550 pounds, man. He's now went to 450.
Damn.
In 4.5 months.
God. Is he doing the DDP yoga?
He's not even started that yet.
Let me talk to you about
that. Just doing
juicing. Because we talked about the things you went through psychologically and the difficulties and the strengths you have to have just to overcome mental and emotional roadblocks and difficulties. Sure. And Keith, our sports guy, you know, admitted to you, he went through a vice with painkillers.
Yeah,
but physically, he was in above average condition. You were a wrestler. Your body had been broken. Yeah. You have probably snapped bones I've never even heard of. You were in a condition when they found you.
Couldn't get out of a chair.
You couldn't sit up. Like watching you try and do the DDP yoga, you almost heard like old wooden doors creaking that were your joints. Yeah. So that's a second thing you've got to deal with. How bad did you get? You talked about your rock bottom mentally. Yeah. What was it physically?
Oh, I couldn't get out of a chair unless you pulled me to my feet.
Wow.
If I got down on the floor, God help me getting up. You know, I'm going to need God there and everybody else. You know, Moses, you know, Uriah Heep. I don't know. Get the whole band in there, man. But, physically, you know, I could. Then I had to have shoulder surgery, which the fans paid for. That was a big moment,
by the way. That was a huge moment in that documentary when you realized
GoFundMe.
The fans that still love you because your circle is
smaller.
Scott
Hall said it best when he said, Jake, the fans love us more than we love ourselves. That still goes true to the day, you know.
Yeah.
But, I was beaten up, but I hadn't used anything, man. You know, and I've got a problem from being hit in the head too many times. My, you see these things here in my hands, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. What is that?
Rub your hand this way.
Rub it.
What is that?
That's a tendon. That's a tendon that is contracted.
And that one, too?
This
one here.
Oh, you can see it from here.
Same thing here. The same thing's happening in my feet. Boom, too many shots to the head. Now the tendons are contracting in my feet and my hands. When I first went to Dallas, my hands were about like that.
Almost like you had rheumatoid arthritis, just gnarled up and knotted. Because when your generation of wrestlers wrestled,
but look at them now. So they've
men struck each other. I mean, you can see. You watched some of that old like NWA, AWA era. Some of that Georgia championship wrestling.
Man.
Okay, people are like, oh, it's fake, whatever. No, here's how you faked a punch. You didn't. You just knew it was coming.
You just hammered him.
And you just knew that, hey, if you punch me, I'm going to punch you equally as hard. So if you want
to
ease up a little bit, maybe I will.
You had to go with the rules. You know, don't hit him in the teeth.
Right.
Don't break his nose.
And that's it.
But everything else, let it fly.
Hit me.
Now, and I like that.
It
was believable.
Oh, I love it.
Another recurring theme in the documentary, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, was that you were living with Diamond Dallas Page, doing DDP yoga, getting clean, and there came a time where Dallas went to like Mexico or something.
Yeah,
and he goes,
"All
right, you taking Jake with you?" He goes, "No, man." He's like, "I gotta go." He's like, "What am I not gonna go anywhere anymore?" He goes, "We'll see what happens." He goes away once, you blow it, you slip up.
Yeah.
He goes away again, you blow it, you slip up. Every time he would go away, you would slip up. So how did you get to the point? I mean, you can't stay there forever, and he can't be by your side forever. So how did you eventually get to the point where you went out on your own, and how terrifying and how scary was that, you being scared of yourself, being alone, being...
Well, number one, I don't go anywhere alone.
Okay, you don't.
It's by my choice.
Saving you from yourself.
And I do not drive.
Okay.
Because if I had wheels under me, maybe I would slip off. Go someplace.
You would just turn off and go somewhere.
I would wake up somewhere, you know. I don't want that, man. I don't want that. I don't want it to the point of F a bunch of driving.
Yeah.
You know, I got my buddy here, man, that lives up here. I come to town, man. He's on the phone calling me. He said, hey, I'll pick you up.
Now, you giving him hard times like you...
No,
did in the documentary? Because you were...
Get back in the car.
You were still doing that addict behavior where you were lying to people, manipulating them, going, get out of my way.
Not so much.
Don't stop me.
Not so
much. Is he giving you hard times or is he being all right? He has his moments?
We have our fun.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I call it fun. He calls it abuse.
Jake the Snake, you were talking about the fans.
Yeah.
How the fans love you more than you love
yourself.
And
I used to hate fans.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, boy, did
me in particular.
It's obvious why.
Why did you hate fans?
Because they would come to the arenas. They would cheer me. They would ask me to hold their babies, take pictures, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm screaming in my mind, you do not know me. How are you doing this to your child? Plus, remember about the kid thing, man.
Oh, you're handing a possible monster a child.
What are you doing? Get away from me. Don't you realize I'm a loser? What is wrong with you?
They looked at you like a golden god.
Oh, I know, man. Brother, I've had women offer to sacrifice to me. You know? I mean, hey, man, go, it's okay if you go with my girl, you know? Really?
But I'm curious, with fans, do a lot of them write or email or approach you for advice?
Yep.
What's the most common question?
About drugs and alcohol, man.
And what do you tell them?
We go into it, man. I get a hold of them, yeah. And I encourage people that come to my shows, even though it's a comedy show, at the end of the show, because during the show, I'm going to talk about addiction and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care where I'm at. It's actually a lot of fun to talk about addiction and stuff in a bar. Because you'll see people like
kind of ironic
push their drink to the side, turn their back to their buddy.
Can I get a water?
That's his, you know? but you know, I get that, you know. And the thing is, some people can drink again. This is the way it is. But no, people come to me and ask me for advice on addiction.
Now, do you feel like that you're almost paying it forward? Because Dallas did that for you.
And I'm doing it for as many.
And now
as I
you're going to try and do it for. You'll take the time, and maybe who knows, something will take hold and sink in, and you can change. I'm sure you have changed
a lot of people. A lot of people, man. Yeah. And I'm having so much. That's the best high I've ever had. When you help somebody come from the depth of hell, man, and come out of it, man, pump the fist, go. Now I get why Dallas stuck with it, because the reward was so monumental, man, for him, you know. And it's like with me and this Alex kid, man. This kid would be dead in 5 years if I had not helped him.
Yeah.
He was 550 pounds. He's already lost 100 pounds. I'm going to show you a picture here, Bro. I'll get it somehow, some way.
Oh, look at this. We're about to watch Jake the Snake try to work a smartphone.
Jake, just stare at it. It'll do what you want it to.
Yeah, give it the V9.
Let me ask while you look for that photo, because I'd love to see the changes that you made with your friend Alex. Have you been approached by the WWE at any point because of what you've been through and what you've done, both positively and negatively, to help another generation of wrestlers to avoid the same pitfalls that you made yourself, but to also learn from your ring psychology, your ability to cut a promo, the ability to work strong but safe? You never were a guy that injured your opponents. You always had a great in-ring style that didn't need to be too crazy, and you sold this great character, and you survived the pitfalls. I would think you would be an incredible tutor for a new generation of performers.
Well, I would think so, too, but no, they have not tapped on that door, and I've thrown it out there that I would love to do anything to help anybody because, you know, I could either get mad and turn off the TV, or I can try to help. And I want to help, man.
Because if you heard recently, there's a spate of suspensions. Paige, Del Rio, Roman Reigns, all these mainstays in WWE are popping for wellness violations. They're pretty strict about stuff these days, and you might be able to nip that kind of stuff in the bud so they don't end their career short.
I would love to help, but you have to be invited.
That's a shame. That's a real shame. I think they're
Yeah, but in the documentary, you made amends with Vince, right? Remember?
Well, somewhat.
Not really amends, but...
There it is. You figured it out.
Go through his pictures.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Wow. Look at those pants.
Yeah, he went from size 70 to size 56.
70? Wow.
Whoa, and look at this kid.
3.5, 4 months.
Good for him, man. That's you paying it forward. Mike, look at that. He used to look like you.
But I'd love to reach out and help these people, man, that are struggling. And I would love to help out with the guys in the WWE, but you got to be asked, man. Yeah. And the other thing is you got to have willing participants.
Yeah, they're not going to do it if they don't listen to
it. A million people told me, Jake, what are you doing to yourselves?
But you're not ready to hear it.
The woman I was loving and living with and mother of some of my children, I wouldn't listen.
Well, all knew she was toxic, and you just didn't want to hear it. How's Scott Hall?
Better.
He's another part of this documentary.
Yeah, doing well.
Good.
They were resurrecting you, and then out of nowhere, famous Intercontinental Champion, NWO guy, Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, and he needs as much help as you.
And here's the thing, like you said, people were handing you babies. They know Jake the Snake. They don't know you. I knew Razor Ramon and this big jabroni guy. And then when he showed up, I didn't realize like what a gentle, amazing soul he is. Yeah. I was like, holy, you know, you see the heel and it's a character and you don't realize who's behind that. I was blown away by Scott Hall. I was like, wow, I love this man.
I felt the same way about you watching this. I knew Jake the Snake, the psychological mastermind that could swim around in his opponent's brain to make them lose before they even tied up. And then I see this man who has been shattered mentally by others, by himself, rebuilding. It's incredible when you get to see the real people, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate
for you.